What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll likely sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. What's up, guys? Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum. They've also got some mints. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins in there. Helps with energy, focus, memory. I really think it does work. I chew it pretty regularly, throughout the days when I'm going, whenever I need like a little pick me up, or if I ever just want to feel a little bit mentally sharper, I'll just chew a piece before my meeting or whatever I'm doing on my way there. I'll chew it during a CrossFit workout. I'll chew it while I'm doing jiu-jitsu. I'll do it all the time. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And on behalf of Captain Beer Co., we would like to say thank you to the Zach and Pat Show for always advertising what we do. Here at Captain Beer Co., we are a men's grooming company. We specialize in beard oils, beard butters, beard balms, some body washes, and even some very nice tobacco, vanilla scented candles. Our goal is not just to set... Yeah, you can't use it over there, Brie. It smells valid. Our goal is never just to sell you a product. Our goal is to educate you on what makes good men's grooming products so good. So if you're tired of buying stuff that you don't understand what's on the label, if you're tired of going to big box stores, come celebrate a company, handmade right here, St. Louis, Missouri, direct to you.
Yeah, I literally got out of the shower the other day and my wife goes, ooh, you smell good.
Also, you have a clump in the right most end of your cheek.
Thank you.
Welcome. Don't walk around with no stinicky on you.
Good?
Yeah.
Went to kiss my girlfriend the other day. She goes,
that.
Ooh, you want to make an advertisement? Ooh,
we could.
Yeah. Ooh. Make like one of those Hims commercials where it's like really excited,
or like Axe or Tag.
Oof. Go. All right. Well, and now we're going to introduce our awesome guest today. She is our CrossFit coach, one of the fittest chicks I know, the great and powerful Bree Green.
What's up, guys?
What up? What up?
Welcome. Happy to be here.
Thank you for taking a break from kicking your ass in the gym and come talk to us.
Hey, you know, maybe we can just still kick ass here. That'd be great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, welcome. I guess let's just kind of start off with, you know, give everybody a little like, intro about you. Kind of tell us the origin story of Bree.
Oh, man. All right. So I am a card-holding chemist, actually. So my degree, bachelor's and master's from UNC Chapel Hill, is in chemistry. So I did a lot of drug making in college,
Mrs. White.
Yeah. I did a lot of just lab chemistry. And in grad school, I was in the PhD program, and I was about a year and a half in, and I decided that it just sucked. I was like, this is for me. I don't want to spend too much time in the lab. Who knows what I'm exposing myself to?
Like chemicals and stuff.
Yeah. It's absolutely insane. Like the things that you breathe in, like, sure, we have fume hoods and all of that, but man, just thinking
about
that.
You're smelling it, you know, right. It's getting inside you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was about a year and a half into a 5-year PhD, and
what was like the goal? Like, what were you wanting to, like, what was the end goal?
Yeah. So my goal was actually to become a professor.
Okay.
So it kind of worked out, you know? Yeah. but my goal eventually was to become a professor, or at least like a high school teacher. Obviously you don't need a PhD for that, but, if that would have been a stepping stone, it would have been great. But I think I just wanted to be able to provide the same type of service that my professors and my teachers did to kids like me, right?
What was it specifically about chemistry and science that made you want to go that route?
Yeah, I think I had a really, really amazing teacher in high school.
Okay.
Mr. Bump. What a guy.
Shout out to Mr. Bump.
Yeah.
I think we all have that teacher. Mine was Miss Pop.
Yeah, Miss Pop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Bump and Pop.
Bump and Pop.
She was a calculus teacher.
Heck yeah. Yeah, so I think I just really enjoyed the fact that it was very black and white. Like, I think a lot of life, obviously, is in, like, the gray area. Mm-hmm. But, like, chemistry is, it's true or it's not true. Unless you get into physical chemistry and it's, like, the whole black box thing. But I loved the aspect of just, like, man, chemistry deals with everything. You know, everything's made of atoms. Everything's matter. Like, no matter what you're studying, it's getting to the point where you're like, man, I can relate this back to like everyday life, which is super cool to me. So I had a really amazing teacher, and he pushed me really hard to pursue like an AP class. I took the AP exam so that I was able to go into a higher level of chemistry in college. So I think chemistry was just kind of a no-brainer. Like when once I got to chemistry, got to college, I like, all right, well, I mean, this is what I'm good at. I might as well run with it. And it turned out I had some really great professors in college too. So it just made it easy to kind of like stay the course.
Gosh.
And going to school in Florida too was pretty nice. Like I didn't have a tan like all of the business majors and art majors that, you know, they took their classes outside every day. But I think it just developed me a whole lot in terms of like how I learned to prioritize, right? Because everybody that I knew, they're like, oh, let's go sit on South Beach and study. And I'm like, I really can't, unfortunately. I'm like, would love to. Maybe I can meet you there in an hour, but I got shit to do.
Yeah.
You know? So I think from chemistry, right? Like I was in this PhD program and then I realized it wasn't for me. I remember driving to school and like sitting in my car and crying because I was like, I hate this. And I think I just hated the like being in the lab portion. I'm like, if I could just skip this part and go right to like working with people and like helping them understand this stuff at a very basic level, amazing. But needing to do the actual research really sucked. So I actually dropped out with the intention of going to physical therapy school instead. So I'd gotten into a bunch of schools in North Carolina and was planning on that. And that was in 2019. And then 2020 hit and they all told me that they were going to go virtual. And I said, that's for you guys, not for me. Mm. I worked corporate for a long time in clinical research, so managing clinical trials before moving to St. Louis. And I think that's where I really discovered my like passion for coaching. So my job was really cool for a little while. I've traveled a whole lot. I got to represent my company at like bid defense meetings, which was just basically sales. So that was really fun. And at 23 years old, it's like a blast to be able to like,
what company was it?
It was called Clinipace, which Clinipace doesn't exist anymore. It's actually called Cadia now. I think they partnered with somebody in China.
And what is it that they were selling or making?
Yeah. So we worked in phase one clinical trials, primarily for oncology.
Okay.
So I mm-hmm. was a startup manager. So essentially anything from a company like a small biotech writing a protocol to taking their drug to market, I dealt with.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I managed clinical trials in the US, Canada, and South America.
So you were a fancy drug.
Yeah, pretty much.
Helping making the stuff that we see on those commercials, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. there's a whole lot that went into that job that was a ton of fun. But then also being on the back end of like hearing how people talk about like medication and it's like very unemotional,
right?
Was super hard for me.
Sure. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on that though? Because I mean, we see all these commercials on TV like, hey, here's Ozempic, here's all this and like that. Mm. Like, and you were behind the scenes part of a company that was making stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you have a different perspective on those medications. And I look at them and I'm like, see those corny ass commercials, but then you always hear about all the problems that people are having and they kind of look back towards the medication side of it. I mean, what are your thoughts or how do you feel about that?
Yeah. So I think Ozempic, all of those things that are on the market right now are very different from what I worked with.
Gotcha.
Like,
sure.
I was working primarily with like oncology drugs. So like if you're getting into
like cancer type stuff.
Oh, oncology.
Okay. Oncology. No, yeah. So cancer drugs.
Optometry. I'm sorry. I'm like eye stuff.
Not quite. But yeah, so we worked with oncology drugs. So it was primarily phase one too. So a lot of times when people get into phase one trials, it's kind of like their last ditch effort, unfortunately. Mm. But I mean, seeing it from a business perspective was super hard for me. Cause like we would talk about on calls like, oh yeah, we had this one patient pass away from XYZ. It was probably a side effect of this medication. And I'm like, that's.
Yeah, dang, guys.
Like,
you're just a number now. Like,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it removed a lot of the emotion. And I think everybody was in it for the right reasons, but they were able to separate themselves a lot easier than I was. Cause I'm like, man,
numb yourself. If that's what exactly. your job, you just got to be okay with, you know,
yeah.
If that's what you're doing all day, every day, you just kind of get numb to it, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah. And I think for a lot of them, they saw the bigger picture of like, okay, what the drug that we're using could help a lot of people in the future. It's right. kind of like you have to get past that phase one part,
like
though.
That catch 22.
1,000%. Yeah. And so that's super hard. But to your point about like Ozempic and things, I think those types of like ads and those companies, man, they, number one, like ads are just clickbait, right? Like they're going to feed your emotional state that you're in, right? And just make you feel either some amount of like insecurity or some level of like urgency. Mm-hmm. You're like, I need this right now.
Right.
And that,
or you think that this, I just need this and this is going to solve my problem.
Yes.
You
know, exactly.
Instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to work hard for shit.
Yeah. And I mean, I think to the point, like semaglutide, those drugs are amazing for the people that they are intended for, you know?
Yeah, so but they mass market it to everyone.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to make money just off that small subset. They need to make money off of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So intended for people that are, you know, very obese or have diabetes, fantastic medication, right? People that just want to live a healthier lifestyle, but they're like, I could lose 10 pounds. You don't fucking know, right? Like, if I see a freaking another 18-year-old that's just like, oh, I'm on Ozempic because I want to lose, you know, 15 pounds for this. And yeah, I'm just like, man.
For summer, you know.
Yeah.
How much did you get your ass in the gym and fucking work for
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Track your macros. Yeah. Fuck, that'll
hell
do
yeah.
it.
Well, they have a lot of celebrities who sit there and endorse Ozempic. Like, hey, why would you work that's out the, if, like, Jillian Michaels, for example, who clearly works out and is in really, really good shape, like, mm-hmm. not calling her out, but, like, if Jillian Michaels like, hey, and I used Ozempic, like, I remember, who was it? They had Larry the Cable Guy on for some product, like, 10, 15 years ago. It wasn't mm-hmm. Ozempic, but it was, like, it was something you buy over the counter.
Like Slim Fast or something?
That was it, I'm pretty sure. Slim Fast. They'd be like, get her done. Yeah. I'm Larry the Cable Guy, and I've lost 25 pounds, and it's like...
Mm-hmm.
through diet and exercise. Nah, because I use Slim Fat. All right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I'll never forget those Jersey Shore. Who's the guy from Jersey Shore? Ronnie?
Ronnie.
Oh, yeah.
Big Ron.
The big Ron.
Ronnie. He would endorse one
situation.
Of those. Yeah, he would endorse one of those all the time. And I'm like, dude, you're fucking jacked. Like,
right.
You don't need to be using this drug to slim down. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Right. That's not
take,
how you
take Ozempic just so you can stick like a needle in your butt to get bigger with steroids.
Exactly.
Yeah. Funny to mention that our last guest was like, you know, on the Jersey yeah. Show. Like he was like, yeah, he's like, you had, well, not
on like on the show, but okay. grew up there.
Gotcha.
In New York. And he was like,
he was on a different reality TV show.
Yeah. Different reality TV show. But he was telling us about how he's like, you know, you had to be 200 pounds or heavier. You know, he's like, if you didn't weigh 200 pounds, you were a bitch.
Oh, yeah, he's like, everybody was on steroids and he was open about his use of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was,
you know, it's interesting. Very interesting.
The Jersey Shore is where it's at, man.
I mean, well, that's yeah. yeah. So let's like let's tell everybody where you're from originally.
Small town, Millville, New Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey, baby.
Jersey.
How long did it take for you to get rid of that accent?
Dude, so I did not have a like traditional Jersey accent, like where they're like, oh, Jersey.
It's because you're not Italian.
Oh. I am Italian, surprisingly. I did 23 and Me. Is that what it's
yeah.
called?
Yeah, but are you a majority? Is your mother from there? All right, look, I might be a St. Louis Italian, but like we're all like family out here. We got people out there with the taco meat and the Jersey Shore. Like, don't play with me, sweetheart. Don't be a pair of garbage.
My grandmother's last name was Ninaceni. If it ends in a vowel,
that is not necessarily true, though. Okay, so real quick, the vowel thing is not true because when I worked in Springfield, we all went to Missouri State.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the Jalili family was?
No.
You don't know? Okay.
Their name sounds familiar.
They owned Jalili. Zan. And,
okay. Yeah.
But wait. Okay. They owned Zan. They owned Boogie. They owned Black Sheep once that opened. Flame. That was all the Jalilis.
Okay.
That sounds like an Italian last name, doesn't it?
Sure does. Mm-hmm.
It is not.
No.
They are Iranian.
Oh,
okay. I can see that. Yeah.
Okay. So not all last names that end in a vowel are Italian. The awful stereotype.
90%.
How dare you?
You have a 90% chance of being correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. I will say though, I used to say water. Water.
I've heard. Yeah. I feel like I've heard you say that before. I've heard it slip out.
If you guys, if you're like water? Any type of you're baseball fans. Yeah. If you watched, what was it? Bryce Harper came out with one of those big jugs for the Phillies that just said water on the side. Yeah. They're really leaning into it. Yeah. But I did say that for a very long time, like my whole childhood. And then I got to college.
Wawa and get a hoagie.
Mm, speaking my language.
So, I mean, how far, because you do talk a lot about Philadelphia sports and being a Phillies, like a Philadelphia sports fan. I mean, is that far from where you like, how did that happen?
45 minutes.
Gotcha. Right? Okay. So yeah, those are your teams.
Yeah. Got so it. South Jersey is very, very different from North Jersey. Like we like to joke that they should be different states.
People say
they're from Central Jersey. That doesn't. Okay.
Jersey's too small to have a Central Jersey.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, South Jersey is very different. Like South Jersey is the whole reason we're called the Garden State. Like I grew up on farmland.
Okay.
Like, all over the place. So kind of like when I came to Missouri, I was like, my people. You know, like hardworking people, farmland, all over the place. But yeah, being from South Jersey, Philadelphia is super close, probably the largest major city. And so that's why, like, I'm all about the Eagles.
A big piece of Jersey is Eagles fans, and then there's another piece that's also like Giants and Jets fans. Is that north?
That's more north, yeah.
Okay, so yeah,
they suck.
So let me ask you, Devils or Flyers?
Oh, Flyers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Devils is North Jersey.
Okay.
They play up. They play up that way.
Gotcha.
Okay. That was hard though for me because I was like, they're
right.
You know, like I should want to support them, but I just don't.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Nets or Knicks. Nets or Knicks. You're not here.
I don't care. Honestly. Sixers. Well,
back in the day, the Nets were the New Jersey Nets.
That's true.
And they actually went to a finals and they lost to Kobe. Mm-hmm. It was from Philly. Mm-hmm. How that all works.
Yeah, I'm not.
We're looping it back around.
Yeah, we are.
It all comes back to Philly.
And so what brought you to St. Louis? You said that you had your career going on, mm-hmm. and then was it just chance or what was
a boy. So back in 2020, I started dating somebody here. I was in North Carolina still. Yep. We had met in 2018 and became friends just online, connected. And then in 2020, I don't know, just by chance. Oh, in 2020, I came here actually. So one of my best friends is from here.
Okay.
I came here from Mardi Gras, which was like 2 weeks before the world shut down. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So I came here from Mardi Gras, went to the parade, and he was living here at the time. And I was just like, hey, like, come out to the parade, hang out, like, let's chat, like, catch up. And like one thing led to another. We started dating. And then that was March, April timeframe. And then by February of the next year, I was like, well, my lease is up. Like, I'm going to dip out. Like, I don't have anything holding me here. Right. My job at the time was full-time remote. So I was like, I could just leave.
Yeah.
So I did. I didn't have anything holding me there. The North Carolina was kind of like weird during COVID. Like, really? Missouri was a lot more like open and felt a lot more free, you know, mm-hmm. and being in the part of North Carolina that I was in, like the research triangle surrounded by all the major universities, like very, very liberal, shut down, like not very fun. So when I started visiting out here, I was like,
my people.
No brainer. Yeah. No. I was like, let me get the heck out of North Carolina. I miss being close to the beach. That's like only thing very neat.
Yeah, we need some sort of beach. Mean the beach.
Let's just get rid of Illinois.
Beach of Mississippi.
The Mississippi River. Yeah. Get rid of like most of Illinois, put a big body of water right there.
Love that.
Just leave like a island
flood
of
Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
flood, maybe just flood make Lake Michigan and just make that whole state Lake Michigan.
I mean, yeah,
right.
Call it like Lake Missouri. Or some
speaking of that, though, did you guys see the caldera in Yellowstone? They had a big eruption at Biscuit Basin.
Really?
So this is like breaking news.
Really?
When did this happen?
Like yesterday or the day before? So Yellowstone, if you guys didn't know, is the largest caldera in like the world. So imagine. Basically
super volcano.
Mega volcano.
Yeah. Super volcano. Yeah. Exactly. So, like, if that blows up, it could destroy the whole world.
Maybe not the whole world. It would definitely have global impact.
The northwest part of the United States.
So, like, Idaho.
Yeah, that'd be gone.
Maybe Montana.
Yeah, Montana, Wyoming. Like,
so, all the super low-tax states that have natural beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sucks.
Some bullshit.
Even here in Missouri, like, if you look at, like, the wind pattern, right, we'd get, like, an inch or two of ash. Just, like, coating everything.
Sun
will be blocked out for days.
Well, I mean, let me ask you, I guess would that have an effect on the fault here and set off the volcano and all that down in Cape?
I mean, who knows? Maybe
our New Madrid.
Dude, it could be insane. Damn. I did not have that on my bingo card for this year.
So what happened? So it went off?
Yeah, so Biscuit Basin is a small part of the caldera in Yellowstone.
Okay.
And so like you see all the geysers and stuff, right? And so that's like, you know, mini eruptions.
Right.
But they had one that was like near Old Faithful that like part of the ground like came up, flew up into the air.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It was wild. There's a video online and of course somebody's filming and then they're like, oh shit, I need to run.
Yeah.
Like that's going up. It's gotta come back down.
It's gotta come back down. And I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
God, so who knows? Maybe terrifying. The beach will be closer after, you know, if that explodes and then part of the US is gone. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Yeah. Shit.
I digress.
No, that's a good little, definitely, I had no clue.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Yeah. But anyway, so then you moved here, and then you started going to CrossFit Achieve. Is that like kind of the first place?
How did CrossFit start?
When did you start that?
I actually started in 2018 when I was still living in North Carolina. I come from a powerlifting background. So I started lifting weights because I was like, I'm a scrawny little bitch, and I was I was in college and I just wanted to be stronger. You know,
you were done going to festivals?
Oh no, I was still going to festivals. What are you
still like, going to festivals?
Showing off these legs at a festival? What do you mean?
There you go.
I haven't been back in a long time. I need to go to another one.
I saw the pictures. She showed me the pictures. Yeah. She was definitely vibing hard.
It's all I do is vibe.
That will probably be the title of the episode. Yeah. All I do is vibe.
All I do is vibe. I love it.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I did powerlifting for a long time. Got super strong, but like hated the way that I felt. I was like, man, I'm really strong. I can lift a lot of weight, but I feel like if I ran a mile, I would just be sucking wind. Mm-hmm. And I did a competition, hurt my back. So I was out of the gym for like 3 months, just like feeling sorry for myself at 22 years old, just me like moping around. and then just so happens there was a CrossFit gym within walking distance to my apartment. So I just dropped in one day. The first workout ever was snatches and toe to bar.
Mm. Yeah. Just two things that are like terrible. A foreign language.
Yeah. I was like, what is that? And they're like, you'll figure it out. Like, they didn't have anything like we haven't achieved now, where it's like, you know, we have foundations, we make sure you're safe. Sure. Like, they're just like,
you should understand the mechanics of this lift. No, just try and snatch it. Just go. You're good. Yeah, just whatever.
The bar is on the ground. Get it over your head.
Yeah. Exactly. Figure out a way to get
the bar. You're hanging from a bar. Get your toes to the bar.
Yeah. Just don't kick your fingers.
Yeah. And it was a partner workout too. So this poor bastard that they partnered me up with was just like, what is going on? Like, this girl is cross-eyed over here. But yeah, I did that workout. It sucked. I thought I was going to throw up. Like, I've never thrown up from a CrossFit workout. Like, knock on wood for me. But I've never thrown up. Yeah.
You're not pushing yourself hard. Yeah.
But I've never thrown up. And that was the closest I've ever come, was on my first workout ever. Man, I was seeing stars. The coach came up to me. He's like, are you good? And I was like, I think I'm going to come back. Yeah. And he's like, all right, see you tomorrow. And I was like, probably not tomorrow. Yeah. but. Yeah, after that, I was like, all right, I suck at this. And I'm like the type of person that if I suck at something, I really have to be better at it. So I started going to class, like started off just like everybody else does, like 3 times a week, because in between that, I was trashed, like super sore. I had never used those muscles in my life. And then, you know, I started going more, like developing a little bit better, like sense of my body. Like I got better at lifting. My endurance started to go up and I just felt really good. And the community at my first gym, like, I got so lucky. Like, we have something really, really special at CrossFit Achieve. Mm-hmm. And what we had at, so that I went to this place called South Durham CrossFit, which is now called Fit Lab. Shout out to them. But they had a really awesome supportive community from the very beginning that, like, if you were new, sure, we didn't have foundations there, but they're like, all right, like, you clearly don't know what you're doing. Yeah. Let's help you along your way. And, like, I think they saw that I really wanted to be good. So they were like, giving me a little bit extra attention. Like, one of the coaches that was a previous owner, like, pulled me aside and gave me some extra programming for, like, he's like, hey, your snatches kind of suck. Let's work on those. But yeah, I mean, that was an amazing experience. By the time I was there for about a year, they asked me if I wanted to coach some of our boot camp classes. So kind of what we do for foundations at CrossFit Achieve. It was more of like, okay, let's do the workout from today, but like a light version. And that was how we kind of introduced people to CrossFit, so they could stay there in boot camp, but then they could also transition to regular CrossFit classes. And I didn't need a level one for that, which was like solid, because I was like, those are expensive. But I coached that for a little while, like a couple nights a week. And I was like, man, this is blast. Like, I really love just like teaching people and watching them develop. And that was kind of like the first seed for me of like, maybe I like coaching, you know, like maybe this is for me. But at the time, I still had this big cushy job and I was like, there's no way. Like, I would never leave this. This is awesome. And then I was in that for a long time. And, you know, from 2018 to 2020, you know, is when I was at that gym. And then when I moved here, I actually started at another gym that's out in Fenton and dropped in at Rachel's gym just because, like, I think, man, I knew Rachel from like these online workouts that she was doing on Instagram from 2020. And like, man, I have a huge girl crush on her because she is so strong. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to be as good at CrossFit as she is. And so once I found that she was like going to this gym regularly and was getting ready to buy it, I was like, all right, that's where I need to be. We connected on Instagram and I was like, all right, I want to come drop in. I dropped in and man, like the rest is history. Like she saw me in one workout and I think 2 weeks later asked me like, hey, do you have any interest in coaching? And I was like, funny you should ask that.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually already signed up to get my level one. So in CrossFit, you have to have a level one certification to be able to coach. And I was already signed up to get that in like September of that year. And this is maybe like May timeframe. So she was like, awesome. I'll teach you everything you need to know to take the test. Like, come here, start interning with me, shadow classes. I mean, I was like coaching warm-ups and like giving whiteboard briefs before I ever went into level one. So I felt super prepared and just really lucky to be like kind of taken under her wing in a sense. So yeah. So then once I got my level one, it was like full steam ahead. I was doing it part-time to start. So that was 2021. And then December of that year is when I left my full-time job. So, oh,
that's so cool. That's
awesome. It was a fast turnaround.
Yeah, for sure. No, let's talk about that. I want to like hear like transitioning from, you know, corporate America to, you know, kind of something you truly have a passion for. Like,
yeah, it was, I think, really difficult at the front end of like, this is scary. You know, like I was leaving a close to six-figure job at, you know, like I think I was 25 at the time. So I'm like, I never thought I would make it here. You know, like this is awesome. And coming from like a very middle-class family that was like, you know, paycheck to paycheck, both parents worked crazy long hours, like being able to do that for myself, I thought was huge. And I was just so proud of it. And then I was just like, but just not fulfilling to me anymore. Like I don't like sitting in front of my laptop for 8 hours. I don't like not being challenged. And so when presented with the opportunity to coach full time and to get into like nutrition coaching and personal training, I was just, that sounds awesome. And so that transition was really tough at first because I went from, you know, like W-2, full benefits, like not having to worry about taxes, all of those things to like brand new, learning about how to manage my own finances is like, whoa. Like you don't learn that for number one. You don't know how taxes impact your paycheck when it's like, not just coming from your employer. So you lose a lot more money. But I think the transition like on the financial aspect was the hardest part. Like other than that, it's like, hey, I get to do what I love every single day, you know?
Yeah, and you go from like, you know, kind of the biggest adjustment for me was like your schedule, you know, you're totally in control of that. And now you're like, I mean, other than, you know, the times that you're coaching classes, obviously that's pretty fixed, but like, I would imagine all the other stuff is kind of around when you fit it in and when you want to fit it in.
It's a crazy feeling too.
Yeah. It's hard at first. Like if you don't have the discipline to develop structure,
totally takes discipline
during your day. Yeah. Like that was something I had to learn very early on. Like I started writing down my task list for the day and being like, okay, these absolutely have to get done. But then like the middle time can be a little bit of like, I'm going to go get some coffee or I'm going to meet up with a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of flexibility at the start at least. Right. And now that I'm a little bit busier, like I have more personal training clients. I coach a few more classes because I'm the only full time coach at CrossFit Achieve outside of Rachel, obviously. I coach more classes. I have some more personal training clients, which actually like tie me to the building. But then I also have my nutrition clients. Right. And so if I want to meet with them, that can be done virtually. So I have a lot more flexibility to be like, all right, cool. Like these meetings are going to happen, but I'm going to be at a coffee shop from 12 to 3 today because that's where I love to work. And everything else outside of that, like, sure, I might be at the gym, but at least I get to either work out while I'm there or I'm with my friends.
Right. Yeah. That's the best part.
Oh, man. Awesome.
What do you say? Because, I mean, I've had this conversation with many women who are like, I don't want to do this and get too big and too strong and too muscular and then not knowing how to eat properly. Like, oh, I'm just going to slow down and just cut back on what I'm eating. I'm like, well, I learned that from you guys. Like, no, I needed to eat more to lose weight. And like, I've had that conversation and people are like, no, you're crazy. What do you recommend to people when it comes to like diet, nutrition, working out and things like that? What is your, as a female, your take on that? Because I'm sure that there's a lot of women out there that just don't know.
Yeah.
And they're not doing it right. And they think they're doing something and it might be a quick fix for a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's as soon as they get off of it, what normally happens when you get off, usually go back above the weight that you were at previously.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I think for females, it's particularly difficult, right? Because we've been fed most of our adult lives, likely, like, you know, if you're my age, I'm almost 30 and I'm a millennial, so most of my adult life I've been fed the belief that it's like, oh man, if you want to lose weight, it's a 1200 calorie diet. Okay. You know? And I still think that is so largely ingrained in our population that that's your first inclination. It's like, oh, well, I just need to eat less. But a lot of times people also don't know what eating less really means for them. They're just like, oh, I'm just going to like reduce my portion sizes, or I'm going to have a salad for this meal instead of like what I would normally eat, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, salads can be thousands of calories, right. You know? But I think my first recommendation to somebody who's like, I need to make these changes, but I don't know really where to start is, number one, hone in on what your actual goal is. Because a bunch of women that I know are like, hey, I want to like lose fat, but I also want to get stronger. And I also want to like tone up for summer. And I also want to do this. And I'm like, whoa. Slow down. Like, let's focus on one of those things at a time.
Be specific, not broad.
Exactly. Right. And that's how you set goals, right? You have to be very specific about what you want. Because if you don't, then you're just, you know, throwing something at the wall and hoping it sticks, yeah. You know? And so hone in on what you actually want to do. So like, if you want to lose body fat, okay, awesome. Let's do it. You know, if you want to gain muscle, let's do that. Right. If you don't really know what you want, the first thing I would recommend is find where your maintenance calories are. And what I mean by that is like, how much can you eat to just stay at the same weight? And I think a lot of people get caught up in the, I have to be in a calorie deficit or I have to be in a calorie bulk, without understanding that I'm like, life happens at maintenance. Like, I think I've been eating at maintenance for like almost 2 years, and it's the greatest thing I've ever done for myself. I did a little mini cut we did a summer kickstart program. I did a little mini cut where I cut maybe 200 calories and lost like 4 pounds, which was great. Like, right. Cut some body fat. But after that was done, I was like, all right, I'm adding my carbs right back in. because truly, like, calorie deficits and calorie surpluses are not meant to be forever, right? I think so many women that I talk to, I'm like, how long have you been eating in a calorie deficit? And they're like, I don't know, like years. I'm like, well, that's not true if you're not losing weight. Right. For number one. Tracking. Exactly.
I feel like that's the biggest thing, man. If you actually track your stuff and weigh it out, and it,
yeah.
It's like you can't miss, you know, at least that's how I see it. And yeah. It's just, and I kind of make a game out of it, you know, it's like, all right, well, I just try to make my macros fit every day. And it's like, sometimes I'm a lot better about like planning my day out ahead, but a lot of times I'm just kind of like filling stuff in. Like,
Tetris.
Oh, yeah. I'm playing macro Tetris at the end of the night. Like, okay, what am I? Well, I still need 30 grams of fat.
Thank
shit.
God. Yeah. Thank God for low fat Chobani Greek yogurt.
Yeah, dude.
Formula One level or Formula yeah. One mint chocolate chip.
Mix it in there.
Yeah. And if I'm short on carbs,
granola.
Honey,
granola.
Honey is peanut butter. Nothing is just straight carbs. No fat, no protein, just straight dude, carbs.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And that would be like my second recommendation, right? It's like, figure out your goal and then like track what you actually eat today. Because I think most people will be surprised.
That's what shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, I thought I was eating way more than what I was actually eating. And, mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah. I was at like 1800 calories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
And yep. They took me from 1800 calories to 3600 calories.
Oh, everyone dude. Always thinks you're eating way more protein too.
Yeah.
You're eating 3600. Holy shit.
When I first started awesome. With them, yeah.
Yeah.
3600 calories. That's I great. Fucking hated it. I was so mad.
You literally doubled.
But I lost a ton of weight. I mean, I think I probably lost 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Just like that, right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. And, that much. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
Because it was mainly protein. Mm-hmm. And I'm on my like seventh meal of the day. I'm like, this is fucking stupid. What the fuck are these guys talking about?
Yeah.
This isn't going to work.
Fuck you.
Fuck you. Chew, swallow. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Rachel. Fucking breathe. Fuck you, man.
But
fuck you guys.
That's the crazy thing though. Cause I mean, when I worked at First Form, you help people help people. And the thing is that a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just eat less and move more. Like, yeah, you might quote unquote lose weight, but your goal really shouldn't be to quote unquote just lose weight, which is just moving body mass.
Yeah.
Moderate what you're doing in terms of like, yeah, you're probably going to eat more and you're probably going to need to move a little bit more. But the thing is that if your body is trying to fuel itself and you have not enough fuel, it goes into what we call survival mode.
Yeah.
It's really just the idea of, hey, well, we're going to expand the remainder of your fat cells to sit here and compensate for the fact that your hormones are going to be out of whack. Your body's ability to regulate temperature is going to be out of whack. And for you to even exist, like, dude, you're doing yourself a huge disfavor. And I'm not coming down hard on you. It's like, I just saw it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And
yeah.
Yeah, once you start teaching people about protein, their entire lives change.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
One thing that I think is actually really crazy, because we're all pretty much the same generation here, but, you know, thinking...
All millennials?
Yeah, we're all millennials.
Yeah.
Not Gen X.
No, I'm not that old.
I thought my mom was Gen
Asshole.
X. My mom's actually a baby boomer, so I got that wrong the other day. She's like, I'm in the last 2 years, you motherfucker. But it's just kind of crazy because, like, we were all raised with this idea of, like, you know, the food pyramid. And in terms of, like, how we're taught about nutrition, it is it's not actually amazing because, like, I think there's only a small percentage of people. We all think a lot of them because we're all pretty fit, healthy, health-conscious people. But, like, how can we expect our children to look like anything else other than out of shape, not prepared, uneducated? When we've been telling them the main thing you need to eat your whole life is fucking carbs.
Yeah.
My question, or, like, when do we go back? Where, like, let's go back and look. Like, you see those videos of men in high school doing those aerobic workouts and stuff in gym class?
Yep.
And they're all fucking shredded.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shredded.
Like in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Let's go back. It was, let's go back to that.
Supposedly, I mean, the whole food pyramid thing, I mean, from my understanding, it came from the sugar industry.
Yep.
Like, they basically, like, bribed the scientists who did the study. And then from those studies, the food pyramid then developed. And then that's what fucking everybody's nutritional health was built off of.
You would be surprised how many times that happens. Like, you know, obviously there's these Netflix documentaries that come out every year.
What the health?
Yeah, What the Health, Game Changers, all of those things that are like, oh, we're going to promote, you know, like vegetarianism, whatever it is. Yeah. I'm like, if you go to those like movies, sure, they're really well put together. But if
very
you
well
go
produced.
To the studies and you realize that the data is very cherry picked, the people who funded the actual like production are usually people that have like
financial
benefit.
Right.
Yeah. From like, okay, for example, Game Changers was all about going vegan or vegetarian. Like the people who produced that, for example, were like, all right, we have a vegan protein line that we now want people to buy. And I'm like, something seems off here.
Oh, you guys do the plant-based meat, huh? Like, oh, you guys are involved. You have your hand in that.
Bill Gates wants to get rid of all the farmland because farming cows is bad for the environment. But there's an Impossible Burger over here. Mm-hmm. You can buy that real quick. Trash, by the way.
Get rid of the cow farts.
Cow farts 2024. 2K forever.
Yeah. All that methane.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but yeah, definitely shit's changed in terms of eating that. I mean, shit, just recently, weren't they trying to pass through Congress that like pizzas are is considered a vegetable?
Oh, God, I didn't.
Really?
Oh, yeah, this was back. I remember this was back when I was still playing baseball. So this was like 2010, 2011, but like it was brought before Congress because kids in school weren't eating enough vegetables. So they're like, well, we'll just reclassify.
Sure, there's tomatoes
we're
on.
We're going to reclassify pizza because it has, because of the, like, yeah, the tomato sauce and all that as a vegetable.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Like, yeah.
I mean, there's some schools now that they don't even have like PE, you know, like physical education.
Yeah.
Where they don't have to do anything while they're at school.
Have you guys seen that stuff online from like other countries, like what they feed their kids?
It's crazy.
It's insane. Yeah. I wish I was going to school in like China or Japan. Like I wish we had
Xi Jinping is
actually. I wish our food.
Yeah.
Was like that because I mean they're getting like this beautifully made like workhorse meal.
Yeah,
fit into a I'm like, ooh. Damn, hey,
what was your school lunch flavors. Like? Mine was like we were lucky if we got those one of the square pieces of pizza. That was a good day, you know.
We had spicy chicken sandwiches every like. Oh, I crushed.
I think my favorite was the pepperoni sandwich on a pretzel bun.
Okay,
it was like pepperoni cheese on a pretzel bun. Horrible for you. Delicious.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I would basically Chick-fil-A sandwiches every day. Spicy chicken sandwiches at school.
Man. Bro, you can Monday. Afford that? Man.
Yeah.
Look, it was a dollar. It was a dollar.
Well, back then, yeah.
Back then, it was a dollar.
Yeah.
Shit, adjusted for inflation. Yeah. Fuck, it's like $36.
I get $20 a week for lunch, and that would last me all week.
Now you spend $20 at a day out to lunch.
Bro, I spent $18 on Chipotle yesterday.
Yeah.
I just burrito bowl.
Was it just for you, though? That's crazy because
$18 was a burrito bowl with double steak.
Two kids,
1887.
All right, well, double steak.
Two kids meals at McDonald's, $17.
Oh my
for
God.
6-piece nuggets.
It's not food.
But
that's the thing. Like, it's so crazy because what Zach gets at Chipotle, even though you get double at the gym, double steak. But like, it's so crazy because you can, and that's probably more calories either one of those kids meals than his burrito probably is.
Absolutely. For sure.
They don't feed you real food anymore. They feed you all this processed, engineered, biolab, pink goo garbage. And then like, oh, this is healthy. And then they show you Lizzo to your kids saying like, this is healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but it's kind of crazy like how our role models have changed in terms of like who you're supposed to look up to in fitness. Because obviously you and I are about like really within 2 years of the same age. Mm-hmm. Can you think about like how women and models were like decorated up until kind of like the start of like the YouTube fitness craze? Like what was it women were built like back in the day versus what they're built like now?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think I grew up watching like Tyra Banks, you know, like the next runway model or whatever. Yeah, literally like they were dick thin when they had.
They didn't have butts.
No butts. No. And we are at war against small butts, right. You guys. Like,
I mean, Sir Mix-a-Lot really changed everything for us, I think. I think that was the first. I think that was the first time they started selling.
Sir Mix-a-Lot walked so that Nicki Minaj could run.
Right. Yes. I think Sir Mix-a-Lot is what started it all, and it just escalated from there.
Yeah,
honestly, here we are now.
Honestly,
think about the timeline. I think that what's
hip hop
like, '90s.
Hip hop is where the idea of big butts did come in.
Yeah,
pretty correct.
That was early.
Yeah, I think early '90s. Yeah. I feel like that came out.
I think it's 1994. Let's
and Murph, please look that up.
Jamie, look that up.
Yeah,
Jamie
and Murph.
If that was the year I was born that he dropped, I like big butts.
Yeah, okay.
And that's
I'll tell you what.
1992.
I think I got to be spot on here.
Yeah, I think I was 4 years old when I started rapping that song.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, I think that's what started the big booty craze.
Yeah.
Well, and it only got exacerbated whenever the Kardashians really started to make a name for themselves after
I feel like I feel like that's the. That's the next catalyst. That's the next step in the big booty evolution.
But okay,
the BBL.
But okay, that makes sense now. I'm an S guy.
But I think we should talk about that because you are someone who you've admitted that you did not like the way that you looked.
Yeah,
didn't like the way that you operated, even when it came to like powerlifting.
Yeah,
and you put in the years of work and planning and programming and consistency and perseverance and follow through to achieve the results you have.
Yeah,
and let's say that person comes to you. And this is the type of mindset I always hate. Well, I just think I'll do this. The just mindset. If the person's like, I want a big ass and I'm kind of out of shape, so I'm just thinking about getting a BBL, moving it over. What would be your response to that person? What are the pros and cons of going BBL? Which apparently that's now falling out of favor too. Thank God.
What's BBL?
Brazilian butt lift.
Oh,
so they take fat.
Gotcha.
Kim Kardashian's butt looks the way it does.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think I would ask them if that's truly what you want. And you want to feel not proud of yourself, then go for it, right? Like, if you want to take the easy way out, amazing, right? Like, if that's who you are, then you're probably not going to vibe with me, right. You know? Because I want to work with people that are willing to put in the work to actually achieve the result that they want, right? Like, if you want a big ass, come talk to me. Like, I have a great line.
that's how you advertise online.
Heard that. Yeah. I have a personal training client right now who she is a like dedicated F45 girl. Mm. Great. Like it got her into shape. It gets her moving every day. I love that. But she's like, man, I've been doing this for 6 years and I still don't have an ass. And I'm just like, hey, you're not lifting heavy enough.
No.
You know,
that was the thing. Cause in baseball, that's what they focused on was our lower half. Like, your lower half is where your power comes from. So,
and that's why those pants look that good.
Yeah. Seriously. Fucking tree trunks in those pants. That's what they shoot for. I mean, everything was heavy, heavy, heavy lower body, core, back. I mean, we didn't really do chest.
Yeah.
But everything was lower body because that's in baseball, all your power is coming from that lower half and that shift from your backside into your front side. And so, I mean, and hockey players are the same way.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I played baseball, that ass was
could crack walnuts with that thing.
Oh my goodness. I remember
bouncing pennies off.
So over the last like 2 years, I've increased my training volume a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Right. So at Achieve, we have this thing called the athlete track. So a lot of us that have been doing CrossFit for a long time, taking 5 or 6 classes a week is now your baseline. Right. So if you want to improve on that, you kind of have to do a little bit of extra strength work or extra skill work, because if you continue, if you want to continue to improve in those areas, it's like, okay, they take a little bit more of your time. And so I've drastically increased my training volume. And I remember, so there's this girl that goes to our gym. Her name's Tiff. She has the fattest ass I've ever seen. And I remember I showed up to class one day and she's like, Bree, you are just growing into your butt. And I was like, that is the sweetest thing you could ever say to me. I'm like, man, it's paying off. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm like, man, you just got to lift heavy shit. Like, stop being afraid to pick up heavy weights. Yeah. Like, I know that there's a strength component involved, right? Like, there's a lot of women out there that are like, I've never lifted this much weight. And I'm like, lift as much as you can.
Right.
Right. If you're not training too close to muscular failure, you're probably not increasing your muscle mass that you need, right, or increasing your overall strength, right? You have to tell your muscles what you want them to do.
Right.
Like, your body's not a mind reader, right?
Yeah.
So I actually saw, I was listening to a podcast not that long ago that gave a really good description of like why people struggle to get the look that they want, because they're like, oh yeah, like you want to lose weight or you want to look toned, but you're just eating in a calorie deficit and doing cardio. You know, like the way that I talk about it is like, okay, cardio, it's going to make you a smaller version of the shape that you are right now. But if you add in weight training, we can change that shape, right? And the way that they described it on the podcast was just like, hey, you have to give your muscles a signal to tell them, hey, you are important.
Yeah.
I need you to stick around and I need you to get bigger and stronger so that we can continue to adapt to the stimulus that I'm giving you, right? And so if you are just eating in a calorie deficit and doing cardio, your body is smart enough to know it's like, okay, hey, I have to preserve some of this energy. I have to like cut down on my metabolic rate because, man, I'm not getting enough fuel and I'm doing all of this work. Like, think about marathon runners. They're not big and jacked. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have a whole lot of muscle.
So, to tie into that, I forget who I was talking to. They're like, picture the body that you want, like of an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And then do what they do.
1,000%.
And I was like, that's really fucking smart. And so I started thinking of this, and it just so it was very recently the Olympic runners, sprinters were on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I want that. I want to do what that does. They look like, I mean, like they're long. They're not
athletic built.
They're not looking like power lifters where they're like big and bulky or bodybuilders that are on stage. But those guys are fucking jacked.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, think about what they're training for.
That's why I always started CrossFit, because I looked at those guys. I was like, man, that's what I wanted. I want to look like them.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Like, think about what sprinting really is.
Josh.
Though. It's not just like, big and jacked.
Yeah.
Big, fast, and strong.
Yeah.
If you want to be big, fast, and strong, as long as you train effectively, CrossFit's probably going to be accurate for you. If you want to be a sprinter isn't someone who's just like good at cardio. That's actually power. It's fast and it's strong all at one big point. You want to be
like a fucking Clydesdale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But even still, those guys, you know, while they sprint, they still have to do strength too.
Oh, 100%. Like, really, that's what I'm saying. Too. You look at them like they are just fucking muscle.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane how, like, I'm just like,
sprints
and
hills.
I never, like, no, but that's the thing is, like, I never thought, like thinking about it, like, you think, like you said, when I think runners, like marathon runners and fat, like, that's what pops into my mind. Like, like little people, like little,
little people.
What you trying to say?
They're
little.
They're so tiny.
They're just tiny, you know? They're not broad. They're just kind of there, narrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then you look at these sprinters and they're just like, oh my fuck.
Yeah.
That's what I want to look like. I'm going to do their workouts and do what they do.
Look at how a fighter's built, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's one of those things though.
Look, as far as looking athletic, most of them can look pretty athletic. I mean, if you were built like, let's just say Islam, for example, he's not big. He's not huge. He's pretty jacked and striking.
But then you got two.
But then you got Ty too. I was gonna say. I mean, the first one that pops into my head is
that's Fedor. A heavyweight.
Fedor.
Oh well, you said Tua.
I mean, yeah, Tua's a heavyweight too. Yeah. But Fedor's still a heavyweight. I mean, he always had like a big old gut, and he's considered one of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
I mean, Justin Gaethje. I mean, he's not fucking
no.
You look at him. I mean, he's built, but he's not like
not shredded.
Pretty lean though.
Like he's not a Michael Chandler.
No,
Mike's a freak.
Right.
Yeah.
Mike is a real freak and he still does CrossFit too.
Yeah, but like,
I'm sitting over here like, go sports. Like, you guys are talking about. I love sports, but I will never know like players' names off the top of my head outside of like the big ones, you know,
yeah.
Jalen Hurts.
right? Yeah, and well, the, all the Eagles and all the Phillies.
Jason Kelce, Jalen Hurts, Bryce Harper. How's that
feel, Kelce retiring? How you feel about Kelce retiring? Did that break your heart?
Yeah. Jason Kelce's great.
Yeah.
He,
I think he's just nationally, it doesn't matter. Everyone loves him.
Yeah. But he also has talked, I don't know if you guys listen to his podcast at all, but with him and Travis, but he retired. Mm-hmm. Started tracking his food. He's lost 25 pounds.
Damn.
How cool is that?
That is cool.
I was like, dude, I mean, now you don't have
you don't
to be
well, but that's
300
right.
some pounds,
and he's,
right?
And he's probably not nearly as active as he was while he's playing. So, you know, that movement, like, yeah, you're going to have to adjust.
What position
that.
Did he play again?
He was a center.
Center.
Yeah. But he's not like, I just remember back in the day, like thinking like early 90s, those centers, like they were big and fat. Like
he's athletic.
Yeah.
I played center.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Stop.
I was like our second string.
So like powder puff or what?
No, I was cool, baby. I was good.
Right,
no,
but like again, good. At that time though, like that was kind of a different shift where the centers, because of like, I mean, that's one of the most athletic positions on the line.
Oh, for sure.
Like
you're kind of like the head. Exactly. You're kind of like the head of the offensive
when you're
line,
you're pulling and you're having to like. Oh, like, hell yeah.
I always loved it because you could touch the ball every play.
You can't be you can't be fat anymore. You got to be in shape
for sure. Yeah,
actually, if I think there's anybody that I wanted to be like, it'd be Jason Kelce.
I call you Jason Kelce when you walk in the gym all the time. He walks in with his flip flops, like not even ready to work out.
Yeah, I know.
And he's always already late. 5 minutes late. I'm like, all right, like always you're gonna late. Miss the whole warm up. Just meet me at the whiteboard.
And it's funny because I was actually there early the other day. And I didn't make it over, and I was still a couple minutes late. I got
answering a phone call, or,
dealing with our file,
our problem. Yeah, yeah. Well, one of our problems. So yeah. I shouldn't pitch. Yeah, he's usually the one to deal with it.
And then talking, I was talking with Josh too. So
yeah, and that always cracks me up. I'm like, Jason Kelce walking up in this bitch right
here
now.
Here he is.
So you're welcome. That's like your idol. You're fucking there,
yeah.
man.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Just jump out of the suites, chugging beers with my shirt off.
So
coming out of the lounge.
Yeah.
I don't mean to backtrack, but I had a question come up and I didn't get a chance to jump in. Okay. But question for you guys, right? So we were talking about like the pyramid and how kids eat and all that. And obviously you guys are both fathers. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what or if you guys have a plan for like how you want to approach like nutrition with your kids, how you plan to like combat maybe what they're having in school. Like, do you guys have any idea of how you plan to educate them on that?
Gonna show them Liver King.
Ooh, man, that's
totally kidding.
That's a really good question.
Ultimately lead by example. But like right now with like it's just getting them to eat anything.
That's the hard part.
Because they're so picky. Like I could sit there. Now Oliver is like me. He will eat whatever you put in front of him. Like he loves bit flavors.
Great.
So like I can cook up a cheeseburger bowl and he will eat half of it and I'll have the other half.
Yeah.
And it works out perfectly. Connor, on the other hand, macaroni and cheese, chicken nuggets, and bagels. Like, so it's like, I just need to get something into this kid.
Yeah.
And, but as they get older, obviously that's going to change. I mean, and it's nice because my ex-wife, you know, she does like, she has the same problem, but she always tries to cook for them. She's got a little more time than I do. I don't always have time to cook. Plus she's a really good cook. So she makes stuff for them all the time. And a lot of the stuff that she's making, I mean, she was going like through the 75 hard. I think that really helped her in terms of what it was that they were eating. And so they've continued that trend. And then for me, like I said, I mean, it's nice because of the fit flavors and I'm not the greatest of cooks, which, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And plus I'm more on the go running wise in terms of everything I have on. So like if we do go out and eat, like, I'm not going to McDonald's. I'm not going, like, it's, we're going to go Chick-fil-A, get grilled. We're getting grilled chicken nuggets. We're not getting, you know, Chipotle or Qdoba where it's rice, beans. They like that stuff. So, you know, it's trying to stay health conscious with them so they're aware. Because Connor, he's like, I want to be a professional baseball player. I'm like, all right, bud. Well,
there's, start eating like
starts
let's
now.
Go.
Yeah. Essentially.
Training camp starts tomorrow. No, I
You're 5 years old.
Yeah.
Give me 20 burpees.
Ew.
But
he does them.
I,
he loves that shit.
That's cool though.
Yeah, he loves that shit.
Yeah.
He always asks.
You're leading by example though.
When do I go back to the gym with you, Dad?
Yeah.
That's awesome though.
Sick.
That's really awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get Calvin in there.
Well, the thing that you can do too for Connor, and I'm sorry to interject again, but like
you're okay.
The truth is that if you're gonna lead by example and your son wants to be someone who gets paid to play baseball, at the very least call it a professional, like You can literally say, then this is what you have to do.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like me going up and saying, hey, this is how you become a professional. I don't know shit. But like, you can actually give him that inspiration. Like, right. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, right. Good for you. And good for you too.
Yeah. I mean, I would just agree with Pat there. At this point, it's just like getting him to eat anything. He's two.
Yeah.
So it's like very similar to Connor's diet, mac and cheese, chicken fingers, peanut butter and jellies.
Yeah.
The kid lives on pancakes. Like the frozen, you can go to like the little frozen pancakes.
Oh, the little circle ones?
A little, dude.
The, like the German, what are they called?
Want a cold, he just goes in, because we have a freezer, it's like a drawer. He just opens the drawer and grabs, and just he eats them cold.
Oh my
really?
God.
Yeah, savage. He goes, like, he goes, like, warming up some, he asks for some pancakes, so I, you know, throw a couple in the microwave. And, can I have two cold ones? Sure. So those are your, he goes, can those be my appetizer?
Oh my God.
We taught him what that word meant. And so now
that's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah. So it's pretty much chicken fingers, pancakes, peanut butter and jellies, mac and cheese. Really about it. He's but then, and then, and then anything on your plate.
Yeah.
Because if you're eating it, he wants it. Because like it was hilarious the other day, me and Gina were like, we're eating, but we're like hiding it from him because I just don't want to share. It's like I calculated this into my macros specifically.
Did you pull the buddy? It's spicy.
Oh yes, that's the new thing. That's
all
new.
The time.
Oh, it's spicy.
Sorry, buddy. It's spicy.
Ooh, that drink is spicy. Yeah, yeah that ghost energy drink is spicy.
Yeah. Sure, put some tahini on the rim.
Yeah. I figured that out the other day, so that's the new move.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
But no, I definitely, you know, plan is to kind of like lead by example, and I'm hoping as he gets older that he'll be more willing to try other things, because like, and sometimes sitting down and just trying to get him to eat can take, you know, 30 minutes to an hour.
It's tough.
Yeah,
come on. All right, I'm done. I'm tired. If you're not gonna eat, you're gonna be hungry, you know, like I don't know what else to do.
Yeah,
you know, it's but hopefully that'll change as he gets older, and just seeing what we eat, and because me and Gina eat pretty well, so
yeah.
Well, and I will say too, they snack a lot, and so they both love fruit, like blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, blackberries. I've always got bananas. They love that stuff. Yeah. So when they're snacking, it's not like they're snacking off bad.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of it. Because
we got him these little apples that are like this big. He loves them because he can just like carry them around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and same thing with the clementines.
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't figured how to peel
them. Make it a game. Once you teach them, you make them a game to see how, if they can get it peeled in one peel. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good tips. Mm. See? Yeah. So it's
dad helps
tips. Some dad tips here. All right.
I'm not a parent, but I find it fascinating because I'm friends with so many parents, obviously, and I'm dating one. So it's kind of cool to like, see how everybody has like their own different styles, and obviously every kid is different,
so it's
like, man, you guys have to adapt. Like, talk about adaptation.
Oh, sure.
And like understanding if like somebody has multiple kids, like both of you do, it's like one of them is going to be so much different than the other, and it's how do you do the same thing for both of them?
We just talked about that on the last one. We had a question and answer about fatherhood difficulties, and that was like one of the things that we said was our biggest difficulty is like, I can't talk to Oliver the way that I talk to Connor, and I can't talk to Connor the way I talk to Oliver, because they are so different.
Yeah.
And like I said, it is one of the hardest things, because there's times where you just get caught up in the rush of things and you start, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always think that's so interesting. I do love that. I think more and more, and this may be like a little bit of an inherent bias, because I think we live in this like microcosm, like St. Louis is, at least the part of St. Louis that I'm involved in, is very fit, right? Like I feel like I don't interact with a whole lot of people that aren't pretty fit or that don't do something for their own fitness. And so I think I have some inherent bias there where I'm like, oh man, like I'll go somewhere that I haven't been before, and I'm like, there's a lot of people smoking cigarettes.
People still
like,
do that?
I'm like, whoa. That's crazy. Like that, or like I'll go to a town that has like, you know, that I haven't been to before, and I just see like so many people around that are just like unhealthy.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I'm just not used to that, which
it
sucks, because it just reminds me like the state of the country.
Oh, right? I saw a really good post. I think it was Sal put it. I think him and his family just got back from Disney World, and he was like, well, I've learned a couple things from Disney World, and I think it's, I can't remember it exactly, but I think it was like, 80% of the population here couldn't run a mile without stopping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I forget what it was. It was like all these things. And I just thought it was like, oh,
it's a Salism.
Yeah.
Sal has a way of like telling you things. It's like, well, since you both are dads, and I think we've all been told by our parents, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. There's a way that Sal can deliver that shit, that anything he says will give you that feeling.
Yeah. It's just funny the way he like, just like things I noticed while I'm at Disney World.
There's the thing I noticed. It's not the family, kids. My kids can run better than half these fucking adults out here. 200 pounds overweight. The only thing you can catch is a cold, man. He's probably out there on the bike. Nah, dude, Sal's great. And you know what, man? Like, I mean, as far as like the kind of dad I would want to be in the way that I wish like my birth father had been to me, like, that's the fucking role model for a dad right there.
Yeah,
he's a good dude. For sure.
It's really cool to see. And it also like doing stuff like that reminds me that like, so being a coach in the market of St. Louis, right? Like, I think I feel often that I'm like, man, this market's so saturated. Like, there's, you know, online coaches, in personal trainers, like things like that. I feel like they're a dime a dozen a lot of the times, you know. I have a lot of confidence in what I bring to the table, but it's still like you have that a little bit of imposter syndrome. And then also it's like, man, this market's saturated. How am I going to find people that I can help? How am I going to find people that want to work with me, et cetera? But then you go out into like the world outside of who you typically interact with, and you're like, oh, never mind, I'm good.
Yeah. And you hire a good content creator.
Oh, yeah. This is true.
Shameless plug.
I do think that, you know, COVID did, I mean, that came from it was, I think there was a big shift in health conscious.
Mm. One way or the other.
Right.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. Exactly. You know, because, you know, one of the things with COVID was like all the comorbidities that people had when they died from it. And one of them was obesity.
Like 79%. Yeah.
And so I think we saw a big shift there. And I mean, I've noticed it like, yeah, as a nation, we're still very fat.
Yeah.
And, but I feel like, again, maybe it just might be, like you said, the community that you're a part of that you're not noticing it.
Yeah.
Well, it's tending. So, I mean, from my understanding, I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but they're talking about how it's starting to go in the other direction.
Oh yeah.
We're getting fitter, you know,
good.
Which as a country, supposedly, I don't know the exact stats, but, you know, some things are moving in a positive direction in that way. So
yeah. That's good. We need it. We need to get back to those commercials that they had in the 40s and 50s of those kids in school, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think it starts with you guys, right? It starts with parents being able to educate their kids on like, hey, this is how you live a healthy lifestyle. This is how you fuel your body. Right. This is how you can train if you're interested in training or like the sport that you decide to do. And that's one of the things I'm like super passionate about. Like I have a couple personal training clients now that are 16 years old, you know, and I find it to be such a privilege because I'm like, all right, I'm here to like make you strong. We're doing a workout together, but like I'm constantly peppering them with questions of like, what'd you drink today? Like, have you had enough water?
Right.
What'd you bring for a snack? What'd you eat before this? What are you planning to eat when you get home? How do you fuel for game day? Like they're lacrosse players or football players, you know? And I'm like, just give me a little bit of information here because like if I can drip a little bit of knowledge, you know, just to them as they're working out, I'm like, maybe this will give them something to think about when they get home.
I think what's so important too, and again, it goes back to the first form thing and the S2 thing. You have an S2 book right there. So worth mentioning. It's not enough just to educate people. You have to give them the consequences and rewards of their actions. So tie a goal to it. Hey, Connor, you want to be a baseball player? Baseball players are healthy. They're big, fast, strong. They have power when they hit. If you eat the way that I tell you to eat, you're going to get moving more in that direction. Yeah. It's going to be hard right now, but 18 years down the line, you'll be really thankful you did it when you're in the MLB. You know, you're starting. You're a top-notch hitter, whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
But when you don't, it's kind of sad to say this, but like you can point to other parents who aren't doing the things that you are.
Right.
If you want to look like so-and-so's dad or so-and-so's kid, they clearly aren't doing the things I teach you to do. So what has that taught them? What can they take away from it? The big problem with nutrition in our society is that we are given a very broad blueprint of what to eat. And again, it is influenced by private interest. Because act like the FDA isn't in the pockets of these big food processors like Kellogg, who makes how much processed carbs? Crazy as hell.
Well, who is it? Jesse Seitzer, the guy that's married to the lady that created Spanx.
Jesse Eitzer?
Eitzer, yeah.
The Navy SEAL?
No, I don't know. I forget. He's on social media, but
I know.
He does this thing too where he goes out and basically challenges these cereal companies about how they advertise and basically just blows them up on social media, which I think is another aspect of why we're seeing people change for, for the better is because social media has become so much more of an influence in people's lives than actual just old like journalism and that an independent media that, you know, you're starting to see more and more people put like pushing fitness online and on social media that people are absorbing it and finally like, hey, yeah, you know what? This is who, you know, this is who I want to be like.
Just have so much more access to information now. Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I feel like everybody, you know, we like to point fingers at social media like it's such a bad thing and, you know, over consuming it. But there is a lot of great information in there.
It's all about how you use anything or how you go about anything. Right. I mean, we could sit here and follow.
You could think terrible about like accounts. Junk food, you know, like I mean, I could sit here and just scroll like funny, stupid videos and like laugh all day, and then after 30 minutes, I would get off and I'm like, what? I just lost 30 minutes of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I could look at it and be like, okay, I just learned something new. I learned how to do a new this. I learned a new move in jiu-jitsu. I want to try that. Right. You know, there's like things that you can learn. You actually apply that into your life, but you actually have to go and apply it.
Well, right. I mean, that's like you and I've been talking about building our following and being active on social media. Mm-hmm. It's like I went through and I favorited all the people that I really just want to focus on and watch and comment on because of that's who our market and demographic and everything that we're trying to reach with this is. And I'm now like I feel like that 30 minutes that I spend every day doing that stuff, I learn so much more now than I was doing before. Still scrolling through social media, but it's focused on the content and the people that I really want to focus on. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know who Jesse James West is?
Wasn't he married to Vaughn?
That guy.
No.
No, not that. Not that Jesse James. I think it's Jesse James West.
Jesse James
West. So this is a guy who was actually watching last night, and he has 1 million followers on Instagram. He's got like 4.7 million on YouTube subscribers. He's a dude, he's jacked. He's really good looking. He's full of positive energy, and like he does challenges. So he's a bodybuilder. He's about 185 pounds, as in this video that I watched last night. And he trained for 30 days to conquer his first full marathon. And it's like, if this is who your kids are looking up to, a guy who's enthusiastic and like inspires belief and shows you that you can do hard things, like the dude's working out for bodybuilding goals while training for a marathon on 30 days. And he's showing how hard it is. He's showing how much he has to eat. If that is what your kids, and even like there's some drama going on with Mr. Beast, but a big thing of Mr. Beast is getting in shape and staying in shape. And kids today know about Joe Rogan more than they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
For the fact of saying, like, information is not as gatekept as it was once upon a time. I think that's why you see this happening within younger kids. Unfortunately, yes, you get some cringy things like the broccoli haircut bros with the tall socks standing there shirtless with their bros posing with a phone.
I just went now.
For real.
I'm like, that dude's skibbity. That dude's fucking.
Can I see?
Jacked.
I told you.
Yeah. James West.
Shout out to that dude, because I think that guy makes really good content and it's going to be really good for kids watching it. And even kids today, they get to look up to like the Paul brothers, whom I have my discrepancies with, especially Logan. But to say that like Jake Paul becoming a
boxer,
he's a legitimate boxer.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, for that's sure. The thing is like
he made pair.
I mean, if you're going to follow, I mean, his I mean, sure, some of the shit that he does is crazy. But like,
yeah,
ultimately, like this guy decided one day that he wants to be a boxer. And that motherfucker did everything he could.
Yeah.
Like, that's motivating.
Yeah.
I props to him. Props to him. I think it's great. So. Yeah.
No, it's great. That fight this weekend was awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was going to say, like, I think just being around people that like to do hard shit is like, that's what I've found I enjoy the most, right? Like, so I turn 30 next week. And so one of the things that I did for myself this year, you guys have both seen me do this, where like from the time I turned 29, that month, I've been doing a Murph workout every single month, right? So I still have one more. I got to do that next week. My shoulder's a little busted. But like, I just decided. I was like, what's a hard thing that I could do every month to just like send off my 20s, you know? And most people would never think that way.
No.
You know? So I'm like, finding the people that have that same type of mindset of like, man, how can I challenge myself? How can I make myself a little bit better today or over the next course of the next year? Like, those are your people, you know, right, like 100%. Those are the type of people you should be surrounding yourself with, whether you're that person or not, right? Like, because if you want to become that way, that's the fastest way to do it, right? So man, it's so cool to like be in this like community of people who like consistently challenge themselves.
Constantly.
You know?
Right.
And I think it's I see it. And I mean, that's why I think I'm attracted to CrossFit and why I'm attracted to jiu-jitsu. It's like all these exceptional people, you know, like it takes both of those things to get very good at all of them. You have to go through some grueling ass shit, a lot of punishment, a lot of painful, a lot of misery, honestly, mm-hmm. quite honestly,
that's
you know,
bad.
But at the end of it, you come out a way stronger person.
Yeah.
And that reflects in not only the, like at least this is what I've found is it doesn't only it, that translates into a lot of other aspects of their lives.
Yeah.
It's not just, they're not just fit. You know, they're probably great in all the other aspects of their life too, whether it's financially, spiritually, emotionally, like they're excellent in other ways too. And it's just something I've truly have noticed and I've really, really admired.
Yeah.
And I think it's what kind of pulls me to those kind of groups of people.
Yeah. Well, and I, that was one of the things like talking to Rachel about when you were talking about goals is like, I just want to get mentally stronger. Like absolutely. I want to get back to being like the mental toughness that I had when I was playing baseball and like, yeah, working out and doing the CrossFit and the jiu-jitsu is awesome. And it's very challenging and you see results physically, but mentally I feel so much sharper than I did prior to. And it's because you're doing hard shit. You get through that CrossFit workout or jiu-jitsu.
You're rest of your get, days.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, let me ask you guys something. When was the last time, because I feel like I don't do this very often anymore. When was the last time you guys doubted yourself?
Today. That's not a joke.
Okay. Did you ever comment though?
I mean, I'm still responding to all the negative hate on my YouTube video. So like, absolutely. Like, I mean, look, it's one of those things that, and I don't want to take up the whole time, but I mean, as a guy who has made social media and content creation his livelihood.
Yeah.
The things that I put out into the world get criticized very hard. And absolutely. Especially with me making a shift back to using my YouTube for politics, it's like, okay, so I've uploaded 5 videos in the last 5 days. The one I posted that has a very triggering subject on it, it got like the most views. But like people have ratioed the hell out of the likes to dislikes. It got like 12 likes and like 100 dislikes.
Yeah.
Because people don't like my political opinion. I'm getting raged in the comments.
Yeah.
And literally some dude goes, I would make sure it's not your goal to become the next Rush Limbaugh because you are not him. And it's like, well, I'm not trying to be Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And so it's like, do I stop creating content because of that? Do I stop uploading to my brand because of that? Or is it like, okay, well, I can see if there's any truth in these comments and I can go out and make another video or I can quit.
I take the Rogan approach and just don't look at the comments.
Oh. but that's the unfortunate thing though, dude, is like the attention economy we live in, if you ignore that, that's saying, well, the algorithm could punch this out to someone who it could use. So I can sit here and I can go tit for tat in the comments for a little while. There'll be a point where I don't have to do that. But for right now, I kind of like, take the lick. Who cares? If I back down and I resign on what I said, that's me listening to doubt. But
yeah,
if I just fucking keep moving forward, I'll probably find the audience that appreciates what I have to say.
Yeah, exactly. So like, that's kind of my point, right? Like you can doubt yourself. But the fact that you're the type of person that's just like, all right, I have this, but I'm not going to feed this. Like, I'm not going to feed this. Right.
Oh, for sure.
And like, not going to commit to that. And I'm just going to.
I've like, definitely been through harder things than mean comments on Instagram.
1,000%.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, every Monday there's doubts because I got to call all these agents that I'm trying to set appointments with. The majority of them are saying no. You hear no so many times. You're just like, man, I'm doing this right. Like, but for me, it's like, okay. Well, how could I have done better on that phone call?
Yeah.
To get a yes. So, I mean, I don't know, learning experience.
Yes.
And I guess that, I mean, comes from baseball too. Like, it's one of the most mentally challenging games you'll ever play. And I learned from an early age how to control that. I mean, people talk shit on me all the time with baseball, and I'm like, whatever. So, I don't know.
Oh, man. Well, I'm trying to think of like a business related one, but I'm thinking of one that this is kind of a silly thing, but it's me and I've recently kind of gotten back into skateboarding. And so me and my next door neighbor, he grew up skateboarding as well. And it's like a whole thing. Our kids ride around in the circle. And it's just something me and him just started doing the other day. And we're like become our new thing over the last month. Anyway, and I was just like trying to land this trick. It took me fucking like 50 attempts, fell a bunch of times, but then I was finally able to, all I was trying to do is just ollie over this thing.
Yeah.
And which is just jumping on the skateboard.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do.
It is.
You know? And eventually I hit it after, you know, probably 70 attempts. And, you know, that was, you know, I had to, eventually I'm, you know, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I might just never be able to do this. And I knew I could do it when I was younger, but let's see if I can, I just can't do it now. I don't know if I'm scared. I don't want to get hurt or all these other things. But then like doubt creeping in. Eventually I went through, hit it, not as cleanly as I'd like to, but you know, I'm going to keep working on it. And, but yeah, that was one stupid little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one too. Similar. I just came to me while you're talking about that, but doing a handstand at the gym.
Yeah.
I against the wall. I mean, we were trying to do handstand pushups. I'm not there yet, but like Rachel's like, yeah, we're going to learn this. And I'm like, I don't ever want to be
upside down.
And then we started doing this and watching everybody. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
And the first like couple attempts I got in there and I was hesitant. So
yeah.
I didn't get enough momentum to get up there.
Your feet up.
And then finally I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's.
Like you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Right.
So there was doubt the first couple times, but then I did it once. Got up a little too aggressive and hit the wall and came back down.
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually I got it figured out and I was able to do it. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
All right. Soon gonna be doing strict handstand pushups in no time.
See, that was the key word that you used. You said, I'm not there yet. Yeah. And I love that.
I'll be there.
And I think like, so, you know, I mentioned like, I don't do this very often. Like I tend to not doubt myself much, but I think we all experience doubt in some sense of the word, right? Like, so for example, for myself, like I've doubted my ability to do ring muscle ups or bar muscle ups or to like help a specific person that comes to me. But I think I've put in the time for so long of just like, okay, I know that there's a way that I can get to that I don't have to doubt myself anymore. Like, okay, like maybe this isn't where I'm at yet, but if I, you know, ask for help or if I like, you know, I know Rachel is a genius when it comes to like gymnastics and CrossFit and I'm like, hey, you know, give me a couple drills that I can do or, you know, give me some extra programming that I can have for the next week. And like, I know that that's going to be the way forward so that I'm like, I don't necessarily have to doubt myself anymore because I know that I'm going to find a way to get there. And I think that feeds back directly to like the type of people that I help every day.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It ultimately goes back to the people you're around because it's like, oh, you're with Rachel. Rachel can do it. You know, like if Rachel can do it, there's a way that you can figure out how to do it too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all comes back to what we were talking about earlier about surrounding yourself with those people that you want to be like and the people that, you know, that you vibe with.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And it feeds back to the people that like I get to help in from a nutrition standpoint or from like a personal training standpoint of like, there's so many people that come to me or that come to the gym and they completely doubt their ability to make changes, right? Because maybe they've tried so many, you know, they've tried this diet, they've tried this type of programming, they've tried, you know, XYZ, right? And they finally get to the point that they're with us in person. And I'm just like, oh, like we got to find the root of like why you haven't succeeded. And most of the time it just comes back to you. Right. Yeah. And that's the hard thing for people to accept because nobody really wants to take ownership of like, I'm where I'm at because of my own decisions and I'm the only one that can fix it. But a lot of times you just need somebody to be like, let me show you the way because I've been there and I can do it too. You know? So that was kind of like where I was going with that question of like doubt and then like being able to tie it back in, because I think so many people don't know that first step of like, let me find somebody who's done exactly what I want to do. Like exactly what you said about like sprinters, right? Yeah. To be able to feed back into that, like to be able to understand like, man, this isn't impossible. That person did it. I can do it.
Right.
You know? I think the part of the problem with that is people are just afraid to look dumb and they don't want to ask the questions or ask for the help. So.
Yeah, that's a very real fear.
Oh, absolutely. So we end the show with a game called the Tombstone Game.
I already know about this.
You already know about it.
I wrote it down. Okay. I wrote it down because I was so excited about it.
We've done enough of them now. It's not becoming a surprise anymore. But here lies Bree. What's it say on your tombstone?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. I love it. Don't know what's going to be your tombstone, so you looked at it?
Well, no.
Mine is lifelong enemy of communism. He was him in death and in life.
Him. I love that. So my tombstone would read, gave more than she took, loved more than she lost, made an impact.
Hey, ooh, awesome.
I love that.
It's awesome.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We had so much fun.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for
being such a great coach to us, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Kicking our ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Oh, one thing. Can I highlight one thing?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So anybody listening to the show right now, I do something at the start of every month where I offer a free service called Fix My Diet. Obviously we're not to the beginning of August quite yet. So if you're listening now, you can get a head start on this. So I accept 5 people every month. It's completely free. You fill out a Google form for me. You track a little bit of your food, and then you get to meet with me for 3 minutes or 30 minutes to get some just free advice on how you can make some better lifestyle choices. So I would love to offer that to your guys' listeners first. So if they send me a message on Instagram, my handle is at BrieGreen18. They can get, you know, get on that list faster.
Sweet. No, that's perfect. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much. That's such a cool thing.
Yeah, of course.
All right, guys. Well, if you haven't hit that subscribe button for us, please hit subscribe, hit like, comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.